listening to the Puyallup Native Radio Program. Audio files are available online at nativetalk.net. Be a part of the program by emailing us, podcast@nativetalk.net. And now, your hosts Cliff and Brandon, your first choice in Native Talk Radio.
Hey, Brandon, do you know how we got to be first?
I don't know. How?
We called ahead and had the best reservation.
Oh, now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning. Welcome to the NativeTalk.net radio program. So glad... What?
Sorry, I was going to say the way you delivered that line, I thought you were really talking to me. I was so confused. I forget about the liners we did.
Yeah. All right, email if you want to chime in with your comments, podcast@nativetalk.net. Guess what? I also have a phone number.
No way. Like, a phone number?
Like a legit phone number. All
right? What is this, the 1980s?
Okay,
jeez, you're still coming up in the world.
970-278-5791. You can actually call. I'm not going to answer it because I'm not in the studio like all the time. But
we're not live right now? You mean this is pre-recorded?
Well, it's not pre-recorded for us since we're recording it. But for those listening, yes, it is pre-recorded. All right. But if you call 970-278-5791, what you're going to get is the opportunity to leave a voicemail. And then I can play that voicemail. But wait.
Hold on. This is kind of going over my head. Can you explain what a voicemail is? This is technology that's beyond me.
A voicemail is like a recording that you leave that, you know, can be played at a later date. Hold on.
Let's see. Are you some kind of wizard? What is this magic? I don't even get the satisfying dialing sounds.
It's coming.
All right, there you go. Oh, God, no, no.
Yes.
This
answer.
This costs me money.
Answer the call.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you today?
Oh, this is bad. We should not do this.
This is great. Okay, all right.
Okay, so it confirms it works. That happened. All
right. Yeah, so I can make phone calls. You can make phone calls in. And, yeah, leave us a message, and we'll play you on the show. 970-278-5791. I'll also post that online at nativetalk.net.
It should probably be written down somewhere, because that doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
Yeah, I didn't choose it. They just gave it to me.
What happened to 1-888-GENERAL now? Was that still taken?
Yeah,
or
1-800? It's taken by the general.
I don't think they're still around.
So anyway, go to the website. You can find our phone number. Also download all past shows and see video of us doing the show on our YouTube page that you can link over to from the website. Now, do you remember, Brandon, a couple of weeks ago when you had a particular opinion that was ridiculous and wrong?
No, all of my opinions are amazing and never wrong.
Okay,
my
suggestion was to have, like, you know, homeless or disadvantaged native folks gather all together in a camp, concentrated, if you will.
Oh, God.
In one place. I just mean...
You're not doing a good job of supporting your opinion at the opener.
Hey, voluntarily, they go to these, like, camps, so to speak, and they learn, like, the native ways, and I suggested that the general public could come and, like, experience, like, traditional native life. You felt that...
Well, that I can tell you how I feel now when you re-describe it. That seems like it's a caricaturization of native life. That for the like, what am I trying to say? Like, it seems like you're selling out and putting your culture on display for profit. It just doesn't seem. I don't know.
It doesn't sit well with me. I love that you described it exactly that way, because my question to you is, how do you feel about powwows? It is powwow season, you know. In fact, this very weekend, our own tribe is holding a powwow out there on our reservation this weekend.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I would love to go to that.
Really?
But anyway,
you don't feel like that's putting Native American culture on display for all to see?
No, I didn't say that display is bad. I said that selling out for profit and put and as a caricaturization is a bad thing. Like, because it sounds like you're trying to say we should make these camps where people are indentured servants living.
No, no, I'm talking about like a job. People who can't work, who can't find work elsewhere,
go to this place and get room and board, and in return they work at this. Yeah, that sounds like indentured servitude
and
to me.
Get paid, get paid for it.
Anyway, it sounds like you're.
But in
going
order to
through...
look, in order to pay them, they need to make money. How do they make money? By people visiting and saying, "Wow, cool! You know, look at all this Native American culture I'm learning about." Kind of like at powwows.
I think there's a difference between the sale and like amusement park-esque version of Native life versus Natives today celebrating their heritage in public and then welcoming other people to view it. You don't have to, I mean, I'm sorry, correct me if I'm wrong. They don't do like a cover charge, right?
You know what? I do not know the answer to that question.
I don't think so.
You know what? It would have to depend on the tribe and the situation. But what if they did? What if there was an entrance fee for all non-natives? You know, like if you're a native, you show your membership card, you get in free. If you're a member of the public, you're welcome, but you have to pay $5.
That's a really tough question. I don't know, because I think it's up for each tribe to decide for themselves. But
well, what if a tribe is doing that? Do you have a problem with it? They're profiting off of the display of their Native American, and this is where I think that we had a disagreement, because you called it a caricature. I'm talking about having a legitimate display, like, and teaching and learning of that particular tribe's real Native American culture. That's not a caricature. That's getting back to your roots, as far as I could see. In my opinion, that's the same thing as that a powwow does. But what if you did like a powwow and people like actually lived that life instead of for a weekend?
See, a powwow is now, whereas yours is like a recreation of history for sale. And I don't know. It just doesn't sit as well with me as natives that live today are doing the dance right now, hitting that drum at this moment. Like, this is a living.
They would be doing that at the camp.
Yeah, but they would be on a schedule like a 9-to-5.
Who said that?
Like Disneyland, know?
Let's say they just friggin' live that lifestyle. They just, that's how they live now.
Well,
I mean, it's better than being homeless.
Native tribes, I mean, they don't do powwows every day at 3, 6, and 9. You know what I mean?
I'm talking about if you were living that life and you just wake up and you go, I feel like beating the drum today. You know what I mean? You don't do a schedule of events. You go, last week I was homeless and now I'm like learning Indian dancing and how to like prepare salmon the proper way. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. And see, this is
just
this
living
is where
your
it
life.
Gets. This is where it gets mucky for me, because if you were that business owner of this park and you were actually making money from visitors coming to the park, tell me you wouldn't want to manipulate your business to make the most profit.
I would. You know what? If I was a business owner, but I think if this is on the reservation, run and operated by the tribe itself, you know, under direction of the tribal council, I think that the primary focus would not be on maximizing profit, but maximizing your cultural heritage and living your life the proper way and teaching skills to those who clearly have no workable skills in the outside off reservation world. Hell, they can't cut it on the reservation. You know what I'm saying?
You lost me there, but I don't know, man. It just seems like it's too easy to go.
If you have a guy living in the gutter, and you say, hey, come home. I want to teach you like valuable skills that, you know, your people once had. I don't know about you, but if I'm the guy in the gutter, I'm like, yeah, that sounds good to me. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, everybody's an individual and people actually like living in the gutter sometimes.
I cannot believe you're taking that position.
It's true. You just said, tell me where you're wrong. But my mind is back up in this, down this rabbit hole that we seem to have fallen down. My mind is still back at up a little ways. You know what I'm saying? Like the if a person owns a business that's actually making money, they're going to want to increase their profits. That's just the nature of humanity. Everybody wants more money when they have an opportunity to get it. And that drive is going to, how do I say, dampen the authenticity of the park. They're going to want to start making schedules. They're going to want to start making sure that every guest that goes into the park will have the quote unquote authentic native experience every day. You know, like it's not real. Maybe. It becomes artificial.
If they did that, I would.
Which they would. That's what I'm saying.
I would disagree with it and I would fight against that. I just want to look. I want to point out what Bill Brown, who's a Native American, says.
Does he call himself Mr. Brown?
I don't think so. All right.
I bet he does. He walks into every meeting. Hello, I'm Mr. Brown.
Well, what he says that understanding a culture requires experiencing it. It's important that people see and experience the drumming and the dancing of Native Americans, says Brown, who helps run a powwow. The 24th annual Potawatomi Trails Powwow, which is a 2-day event being held, in Shiloh Park in Zion, August 26th and 27th. Oh, so it just passed. They just did this. All right. He says that the powwow is not only about revealing his culture to others, but also about celebrating the inclusion of all races. Native Americans generally host powwows to celebrate the end of a season and to welcome a new one. Do you have a problem with that?
So far, it just sounded like a description of powwows, right?
Right. So you don't have a problem with powwows.
I don't see the corner you're trying to back me into here, but no, I don't have a problem
okay.
with powwows.
I'm just checking because I had when I read this, my first impression was, well, Brandon's wrong because he doesn't want Native Americans to put their culture on display. And I'm like, that's been going on forever.
No, I didn't say I was against powwows.
These 2-day events typically include storytelling, singing, dancing, craft making, eating traditional foods, and walking through a small village.
Also, eating fry bread, not a traditional food, still eaten at powwows, still delicious.
Yeah. I know how you feel about fry bread.
Teach 'em, pale face brother, all about red man.
It's not racist to like fry bread. It's amazing.
Let me see this part. Visitors can watch men and women create items out of porcupine quills or make their own arrowheads. Food vendor will sell traditional foods, including fry bread and fry bread tacos.
Winner!
Combination.
Ooh, fry bread tacos? Are you kidding me?
Combination.
They took it to a whole other level.
Meat, vegetables, and seasonings placed inside fry bread.
Oh, dude.
One of the highlights will be a grand entry held between at 1 and 7 p.m. On Saturday and at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Sounds like they're scheduling events.
A little different when they schedule it on a weekend versus every day of the working week for 365 days.
All of our dancers come into the arena at one time and dance to the beat of the drums. They will be dressed in colorful Native American garb. Brown says that the drum is the heartbeat of the earth, and as long as the drums continue, the heartbeat will also continue. And the folks, he wants folks who come to the powwow to join in what's known as intertribal dancing. So, like, basically he's inviting all the tribes, and they have, like, tribes show off their own dances, okay? Another important part of the giveaway... I'm sorry, another part of the powwow is a giveaway at noon on Sunday. We offer gifts to everyone, including non-natives, because they're interested in our culture. It's a traditional gift from us to them from the heart. Just small tokens, perhaps a hand towel or a tube of toothpaste.
Okay. I like it.
Okay. They say they're items that people can use. I kind of disagree that a tube of toothpaste was a traditional gift, but
are you kidding me? If you had a, if you were somebody who didn't have a store and you were able to make toothpaste and it's like, hey, if you use this, your teeth won't rot and fall out when you're 25. That seems like a pretty good gift, man. I would cherish that. I would also ask how to make it so I could keep making it at home.
In addition, Dan King, who lives with the Oneida Nation up in Wisconsin, will be there to tell, or I guess was there since it happened a few days ago, will be right there to tell traditional stories in the arena, perhaps about eagles or other animals, whatever he's comfortable with at the time. See, this is what I like. It's not like, oh, he's going to tell a story about, you know, eagle this. And or, I mean, he's going to be able to pick the stories, tell them when he wants, how he wants, you know. Mm-hmm. He's been a part of our powwow for many years, says Brown, and he's a major speaker for a lot of Native organizations. Visitors, Native and non-Native alike, can watch men and women create all of these things. And so,
sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a special place, has a good feeling. We're up in the Oak Grove of the park, and it's just a beautiful place to be, says Brown. So I kind of think my idea sounds a lot like that.
No, no, sir. I don't think that your idea sounds like a powwow at all.
It's bringing Native life back to life. That's
Are you really saying that,
that
Native Disneyland is just, you know, a glorified
I'm
powwow?
I'm not saying that they should do Native Disneyland, you ridiculous Brandon.
You're just mad because I got a great catchy title to go along with your horrible idea. And that's what's going to stick.
It is not what's going to stick. Look, I just support bringing folks in off the streets and teach them their native ways so they can like learn culture and get their pride back. That's
See,
all
indentured
I want.
Servitude is a good thing, and who cares if it makes a little bit of profit? It benefits natives.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a moment with more stimulating Native Talk Radio about another reason why Brandon is wrong. It seems like Santa Rosa County Creek Indian Tribe plans to open a Native American cultural center. A cultural center that is doom, man. They will be putting cultural artifacts on display. Oh, Brandon, what are you going to do, man? You going to boycott?
Right, okay, so we'll talk about this soon. Wow.
All right, we'll be right back on the NativeTalk.net radio podcast.
Practice makes perfect, but nobody's perfect, so why practice? You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Cloth or disposable? Paint or wallpaper? Yellow or green?
Babies come with lots of decisions.
Crib or bassinet? Rocker or glider?
So when it comes to protection against diseases, go with the safest, most effective choice, vaccination. To protect your child against 14 serious childhood diseases like measles, meningitis, and whooping cough. That's why nearly all parents choose it.
Stroller or carriage, basketball or soccer.
So get all the recommended vaccinations for your baby by age 2. For more reasons to vaccinate, talk to your child's doctor. Go to cdc.gov/vaccines or call 800-CDC-INFO.
Justin or Justine.
Immunizations help give you the power to protect your baby. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
You are flat out amazing. Just ask your mama.
You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Nobody else is, but you are. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
All right, welcome back to the show where Brandon is trying to type at me, and I have no idea what you're saying, man.
Yeah, it's amazing how if you just take away the letters T and H, how it just destroys everything you try to type.
Why don't you get a new keyboard, my man?
They cost like $12. Have you seen the prices of keyboards nowadays? Jeez.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds...
That I can buy a pack of socks for that kind of money. That's big value.
You got to be loving this conversation, though, right?
My head is exploding, man.
Okay, so as we were talking about, Santa Rosa County Creek Indian Tribe plans to open a Native American cultural center. Oh my God, Brandon. They're going to be putting cultural items on display that
again
could be relevant to their culture.
I have no problem with people sharing their culture with people outside of their culture.
Do you, Brandon? Do you really have no problem with that?
And believe me when I say I'm even okay with museums charging like a $5 or $10 cover charge to get into the museum. Like, it's, I know, radical. There's a difference between cultural centers and museums and powwows and Native Disneyland.
Santa Rosa County.
Trademark pending.
Santa Rosa County Creek Indian Tribe, as I mentioned, they plan to open a Native American center later this year in Milton. Now, this is in the Florida Panhandle, just north of Pensacola. All right, so that's where it's located.
They have a Christian college in Pensacola.
Groundbreaking on the 4,000-square-foot building was scheduled to begin just last month. But more important than the shovels in the ground is the center's mission to preserve Native American knowledge, artifacts, and culture. Oh my God, Brandon, what are you going to do?
You're really leaning on that preservation of culture crutch.
They say that much of Native American history has been lost, and Dan Helms, an officer with the Santa Rosa County Creek Indian Tribe, doesn't want a single more artifact to be forgotten. Helms' grandmother was a Creek Indian, although she never talked about her heritage. Neither did she acknowledge it because of a fear of retribution she learned from her own relatives. I mean, when back in the day, you know, not that long ago, if you just identified yourself as a Native American, you got a lot of crap for it.
Yeah, and something that I learned when I was a child that made me kind of sad was that our great-grandmother, she left the tribal lands and went down to like the Bakersfield area, mm-hmm, and started identifying as a Hispanic. You know, she called herself Mexican because the racism against Mexicans was less than the racism against Natives.
Since she could pass
for Mexican in Bakersfield, that's what she went with because she got bullied less, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Helms, the tribe's vice chief, says so much of what was done throughout history was wiped out, our race and our culture. Now, our goal is to keep that from happening any further. The memories, the knowledge, the culture of Native Americans, and keep that from disappearing altogether. He adds, we do what we do in the overall hope that it will help all people have tolerance and compassion for people of other culture. Uh-oh, he made a big mistake there. He wants to help all people of all races have tolerance and compassion. Boy.
Yeah, Clifton can't really get his mind around that concept.
He should talk to you where you can set him straight.
You're so, so wrong and twisting my ideas.
Helms said one of the artifacts ready to go in the museum is a peace pipe used by the Crow Nation leader Plenty Coos after he... I would love to have a name called... You know, what's your name? Plenty Coos.
That it just rolls off the tongue. I like
right?
it.
Why? Because I committed plenty of coups. For those who don't know, do you know what counting coup is?
No.
Okay, counting coup is where you coups like C-O-U-P-S. It's pronounced
yeah, like,
coup.
Like a coup de grace, right?
Yeah, and so what they would do is they would like a ninja, like an Indian ninja, except they weren't ninjas; they were like Indian braves. They would
they were what ninjas wanted to be.
You're right. So they would sneak into an enemy camp and cut off like a piece of their cloth or, you know, something that they owned and sneak back out undetected to basically say, hey, I could have killed you, but I didn't, you know, to like
Yikes.
Show off. So if you did that a bunch of times, apparently you get the name Plenty Coos. So
wow, that's hardcore, man.
That's like saying I could have killed a whole bunch of people, but I didn't. So
yeah, that gives me kind of a little bit of chills, because it's like I've got the skills and I'm choosing not to use them, and now you know.
Yeah, exactly. So that was it's like an act of bravery in the face of the enemy, because if they catch you, they could kill you. And so it's basically just like an in-your-face name, you know?
Yeah, it's like the ultimate level of steal the bacon.
Yes. And a deadly version of steal right. the bacon.
High stakes steal the bacon.
So this peace pipe was used by Plenty Coups after he reached an agreement with an official from the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs. Helm says that they've even got documents to confirm the pipe's authenticity. In fact, he says, the Smithsonian really, very badly, wants the peace pipe, and they can't have it.
That's right.
You know what this reminds me of?
Hey, everybody, check out the all-new Cartman Land. It's our grand opening. Cartman Land has over 100 fabulous rides, 6 roller coasters, and tons of great surprises. And the best part is, you can't come. That's right, because at Cartman Land, only I, Eric Cartman, can get in. That means only I can ride the all-new Tornado Twister, a roller coaster that splashes into water. Wow, it's the greatest amusement park in the Colorado area, and nobody can go, especially Stan and Kyle. So come on down to Cartman Land now, but don't plan on getting past the parking lot, because remember, so much to do at Cartman Land, but you can't come, especially you, Stan and Kyle.
You want our peace pipe? You can't have it.
I forgot all about that episode. I was so confused.
Well, it's all about you want something, but you can't have it. It's the ultimate in your face, which I think goes right in line with Plenty Coups' MO. You know, this is what he would have wanted, you know?
And I think it's great that there are places that people can go to view these artifacts that you know, have such history and they've been preserved for so many years. That's fine. And it's okay to even be on display every day. Like, that's not my sticking point. I'm saying that when you are exploiting history and making it artificial just for profit, that's what I have an issue with.
So what you're saying is, like, these things are kind of a compromise.
Compromise? What?
Like a compromise between, like, showing off culture but not going too far. So if you've got, like, on one side the extreme of not showing anything, and the other side, Indian Disneyland, as you call it, this is, like, kind of a compromise in the middle?
I don't think that it has to be considered a compromise. I think that natives should be allowed to be proud, and if they want to show other people and other people want to see that this is something that isn't like a, all right, fine, I guess I'll let you do it. It's like, yeah, this should happen, but when you exploit it and it's like, now I'm going to use this to not only make profit, make tourist money off of these artifacts, but I'm now going to make natives live here and work here for food and
I'm
board.
Not talking about making them, all right?
Oh, right. They have a choice.
Well, you know what? I just want to play this clip about compromise because I recorded it and now.
Oh, it was okay. A segue. Yes. Right. Yes.
I'm trying to set
this
up. Look.
You can look the other way once and it's no big deal. Except it makes it easier for you to compromise the next time. And pretty soon, that's all you're doing is compromising because that's how you think things are done. You know those guys I blew the whistle on? You think they were the bad guys? Because they weren't. They weren't bad guys. They were just like you and me. Except they compromised. Once.
See, Jack Bauer is against compromise.
Get down!
I don't know. I wanted to play that one. Because we talked about it one time and I didn't have that clip. And now I do.
Oh, all right. So rather than wait for an actual good moment, you just wanted to force it in there. That makes for good radio.
You know what? Shut up. Tribes' efforts to stay ahead of the law and avoid forced relocation, because you remember that's what was happening. They were pushing them all over the place. The government took Native American land east of the Mississippi in exchange for land to the west of the river. Tribes went along with that act, became citizens of their home state, whereas other tribes resisted relocation. And so what they did was they moved around, and they moved around quickly. And in the process, because they're moving, I mean, you've had experience of moving, right?
Yeah, and I've had the benefit of automobiles and trucks. I didn't have to carry everything I own.
Yeah, so you can understand how a lot of their culture was lost in that process. You
absolutely.
Know?
Especially artifacts, you know, belongings
yeah,
would
so,
be lost.
So a lot of this cultural center, what they're trying to do is highlight some of the lost elements through more than 3,000 artifacts in the museum, a genealogy resource center, and space for hosting educational presentations. Basically, it's going to be like a great place, a destination for field trips, someplace where people can learn about Native American culture. They've got money from an Impact 100 grant, which provides money for nonprofit groups, and was awarded to the Creek Indian Tribe for construction of this infrastructure work, like roads, underground utilities, and stuff like that. So
that sounds amazing.
Yep. Well, hopefully it will be open before the tribe's 27th annual powwow, the week before Thanksgiving. And that'll be a great thing. It's dedicated to the Creek Indian Tribe chief, Lloyd Hinote, who died in mid-November.
Dude, so. we should make it up to our tribe's powwow.
That's not happening now.
Obviously not the one that's happening now. But on the next one, we should go up there, and I should, if they have fry bread, we'll get some fry bread, maybe some fry bread tacos.
Dude, you and the fry bread.
You don't even know. Once you try it, you'll understand.
That is not cultural
That's
history,
fine.
Man.
Regular tacos from Taco Bell aren't cultural either. I'm still eating those.
You are ridiculous, man.
Turn down a 39-cent taco from Del Taco. I dare you.
You know I won't. I love tacos.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. That'll do it for us today. But we'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. We hope you'll share the show with your friends and send them to our website. Like us on Facebook. And feel free to give us that call. You can leave comments in voicemail form, 970-278-5791. We'll see you guys next week.
Eating nails, drinking gunpowder soup, and listening to the nativetalk.net full blast.